Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Skinny E Media's podcast about, well, stuff in general, basically, but mostly stuff that's in media. I am the ever so delectable, otherwise known as Bobatron on Twitter or Citizen Snips on YouTube. Follow me, please, because I appreciate the traffic. And with me, I have the actual host of the show. Let me do the intro again. So this week, if you can tell by the title, we are talking about a slightly more risque topic. Although it's a topic I think everyone's familiar with, and if you're not, you're lying or rightly sheltered. We are going to talk about the scourge, the filth, the degradation. I am talking about pornography, or just porn, as we like to call it now. Something which has been a controversial start from the from its inception. God knows what. Well, except it's one of the oldest forms of human art form, dating back to prehistoric cave paintings. People like to make out, but it's controversial nowadays. But really, it isn't. We have moved on a lot. And so here we are to talk about porn and how attitudes towards it and the ratings in general. So, Mark, how are you today?
I'm all right myself. I was a bit nervous about setting up this idea for the podcast because I know how society's views on sex and nudity is very puritanical, no matter where you go, or the varying levels. But I'm glad we've got to this point to where we can talk about probably the most controversial subject we have ever done.
Well, to be honest, I mean, we have moved to the point where porn has lost a lot of its stigma. Yeah. Fortunately, with a lot of the older generations dying off and newer, more liberated generations taking over, porn is not quite the scarlet letter that it once was. So, I mean, I suppose we can... I mean, we don't really want to talk about our personal experiences with porn because, let's face it, I mean, we've all seen it and everything. I mean, let's face it, this nowadays, it's all over the internet. And like many, I'm pretty certain everyone has basically have viewed whatever sick fetish they have on there. But that's, it's all there. But, I mean, we can... Because let's face it, pornography is, of course, nothing new. As I mentioned in the introduction, there are cave paintings about over 40,000 years old, which depict what we consider graphic human sexual behavior. It's, of course, it was nothing new. Just like you say, prostitution is the world's oldest profession. Pornography is probably one of the oldest forms of human expression and everything. I mean, humans have a sex drive. Let's not get too beat a bush about that. And, of course, we tend to think of, we at least assume that pre-Christian cultures tend to have been slightly more open about this stuff. We tend to have, I mean, I don't know about how true it is. I mean, I think the Romans are slightly more prudish than people made them out. Oh, pardon me. Like, I've had a beer, I'm afraid. We're more prudish than they made out to be. But it's always been a thing throughout history. It's just been always slightly hard to get its hand on. And of course, many ratings boards around the world have special ratings for porn. You know, in Britain, our BBFC, a lot, you know, separate from its 18 rating, has the R18. Australia, separated from R18 plus, has X18 plus. And Canada, separate from its R rating, has an A rating. It seems to be just America does not. It merely has an NC-17 for an adults-only rating, so they can't seem to differentiate between a simple cinematic movie that's only suitable for adults and a pornographic work. So, that's something to, that's food for thought, something to sink our teeth into. Mark, over to you.
Well, part of the problem is that they conflate the two. Just having an adult only rating, they assume it's probably smutty. As far as I'm concerned, I've always referred to pornographic material when you think overt sex and nudity as smut. People, you know, like it that way, on the dirty. But my earliest experiences with pornography, without getting too overt on personal preferences, probably come from paintings, like The Birth of Venus by Botticelli, and some of Gustav Klimt's works here and there. And then, you know, every now and again, when you pass through the news agents, you'll always see FHM or Zoo or Nuts on the wall, particularly on the top shelves, so they don't get the children looking at them. And then the more harder stuff like Playboy and Hustler.
Well, again, that's hardly hard stuff and everything. I mean, like I say, but the availability of it on the internet is, of course, making that stuff kind of redundant. I mean, I think...
Sad, really, because it kind of reduces the, you know, the sneaky factor. Because you know how in schools, kids who try to sneak in something a bit dodgy and they're all giggling at the boobs and stuff.
Oh, yeah. No, I totally get it. I remember one time when I was in year 7, this is a course going, so that would have been circa 97 or at least late 96, basically, yeah, late 90s and everything. One of my friends in school, one of my classmates, basically pilfered a few of his brother's pop shelf porno mags and everything, all the kind of stuff he'd buy in a newsagent's, not the kind of stuff he'd buy in actual... porno shops, because I don't think his brother's old enough to sex shops, I mean, because it's not the kind of, that wasn't, he wasn't, he was old enough at the time. And of course, yeah, we sort of brought us in, we were all sort of looking at it in the, well, the room where we had the assembly and everything. And so we were just like, looking at him constantly. And of course, that's the first time I'd seen, like, well, a proper, well, I say proper, but like actually seeing, because most of the pornographic stuff I'd seen before, I say pornographic, was just typical, page 3 stuff or well, the Daily Sport, where of course they only showed you the tits and probably some nudie stuff on TV. And of course it was actually quite funny because our headmaster and his wife bloody caught us in the act. We were like walking back and my a friend was carrying the magazines and she was asking them like, what are those magazines? I said, oh, nothing, just mags. Can I see them, please? I know, they're just mags. I know. Can I see them, please? So we had to so we ended up handing in these, well, top shelf style magazines to the headmistress or the headmaster's wife. Oh boy, you can imagine the awkwardness of that.
Grounded for something like that.
I have no idea what what the fallout was from that and everything. Frankly, I don't actually. Actually care, it was kind of, but it's like, well, times have changed, because you wouldn't need to bloody do that nowadays, because all the kids would have just seen porn on the internet. I mean, I'm probably one of the oldest the last generation that's still old enough to remember just before porn was so ubiquitously available on the internet, you know, just at your fingertips. And of course now, not only just can you do it on your computer in your room, but you've got it all on your freaking phone, so it's all just at your fingertips. I mean, I remember in the late 90s I used to stay up late on a Friday night to catch Channel 5, where they always just have like just loads and just a whole hour or so of softcore porn. Like there's a TV show called Sex and Shopping, and it'd always be something like Red Shoe Diaries or something, or one of those Skinamax type films like Animal Instincts or Poison Ivy or any of those films that starred Shannon Tweed. And it was just loads of that. But of course, my god, looking back at it now, it all seems kind of quaint.
Well, for me, Lady Chatterley's Lover, now that's probably stepping few boundaries there. British courts and stuff deemed it pornographic, and they banned it for so long, up until the early 60s, to where now everyone can see what it's all about, to where even now the most recent Lady Chatterley version or adaptation was past 15, despite having quite a lewd legacy of things. And, you know, in all fairness, what was once taboo at one point probably isn't so much another, and that does kind of upset me to some extent, because it kind of removes the nostalgia out of it. Like, I know I've already talked in previous podcasts about some of my sexual proclivities, but I'll keep it to a minimum here. Let's say Pulp Fiction, for instance. I know it's not a porno, but seeing Uma Thurman with that bobbed haircut and then sort of bending her foot for the camera, because Quentin has a bit of a fetish. So they played on my mind as a child. I really wanted to see it because I liked how attractive she was, but I couldn't because I was 18, so I found a way to sneakily see the preview of it on Film 4 when they were shown, like, before Film 4 started. Well, you have to actually pay for the channel to see, oh, I want to see the clip from the Pulp Fiction where she bends her foot. Oh,
I was not allowed to look at Playboy or even dare try to traverse through the channels like TVX or Babe Station that you'd find on Sky. So most of my experiences with it was sort of a bit subtle, really, to where I'm sure people laugh at me when I tell them that one of my first experiences with seeing this sort of dirty material actually came through MTV. There was a documentary that aired that was called Getting Naked. It made me laugh, but I had to watch it in secret when none of my family could know I was watching it at like 5 in the morning before school. It caught me by surprise, and it was intriguing. That was one of my first experiences, and then the music video Beloved Sweet Harmony, that was an eye-opener. You don't see explicit detail, but it's overt, you know. There's none of the people have clothes on. One man for every, like, 20 women in that video. And then, you know, growing up, you see the DVD covers for stuff. I know HMV and Virgin Megastore was kind of an eye-opener for me from my earliest experience with stuff like, let's say, Pulp Fiction, which I've talked about how much I love Mia Wallace so much. And then some of the anime, like Alien from the Darkness and Mission of Darkness, which I'll tell you right now, that DVD cover for Alien of Darkness kind of scared the shit out of me, because I thought, why is all these weird tentacle things on this beautiful woman? It kind of freaked me out a little bit. Also, the fact that it had 18 on it didn't help out things.
Apparently, that was, like, really heavily cut, because originally, when it's first brought to the BBFC, it was cut down to even get an R18, and then they said they wanted a regular 18, so, like, or we have to cut it even further. Then I was like, so yeah, apparently there's a lot of footage that's been removed from that. And while I haven't seen the film on it, a DVD ahead of it for quite some time. In fact, I think I lost it anyway because my dad discovered it. It hardly makes any fucking odds by that point. I was 26. He's only supposed to tell his grown son what he can and can't watch. I think you can watch it, the fully uncut thing online anyway. Well, of course you can. And I managed to I think I can see a bit of the extra stuff that they would have removed.
I haven't seen the uncensored version. I'm a little too fearful. I didn't even dare see it uncensored because part of the fear I have of with seeing hentai or pornography is viruses on these websites. I don't know what sort of pop-ups or spamware that they put on these websites to make it makes me quite fearful.
I think most people could tell you that most porn websites, especially like Pornhub or Xvideos, probably have got pretty damn good spyware or antivirus programs on to make them safe. I mean, it's not as that. Yeah, the fears of viruses from these websites is remarkably unfounded.
Well, if you say so there, but and I've been called a monster several times before, even for watching certain anime. It's not even deemed pornographic, but it seemed a bit lewd on the surface, like Nausicaa's Blitz Tactics, which I've talked about before, and Elfen Lied, Ikitosen. Those are ones that could certainly raise an eyebrow with the pearl clutches. But you're a bit more adventurous than I am. I'll keep any sort of personal preference stuff to a minimum, but I think most people kind of read between the lines on what I've said on previous podcasts, and they figured out, okay, he likes Sanex, likes anime, he seems to be really obsessed with Mary Winstead and Scott Pilgrim. So what is deemed smutty for me is not smutty for others, and that's all I'll say.
During the 20th century, even hardcore porn was pretty much de facto illegal in the in Britain. It wasn't really until after James Furman left that it became fully legalized. And we could actually see proper stuff in the R18 videos, just at the point where it was becoming completely irrelevant anyway, because we could see it all online as it was. Although most people probably still using dial-up internet rather than the broadband we have now, so the internet wasn't quite as useful back then as it is, wasn't quite as prevalent back then as it is now, and certainly wasn't as useful, because if you were on the internet, the phones became unavailable, especially. Didn't help, of course, my dad did some really dodgy wiring of our phone system in our house, meaning every time you use the phone line, there's a huge ding surrounded on, which made internet browsing, discreet internet browsing, very difficult.
Well, I know the feeling. We didn't get broadband at the house. Not really. I mean, I had to go to the local library to check anything, and I certainly, well, that's another story, but we didn't get it until 2007. In 2008, at least on a much more stronger basis. But I did get into trouble one time for seeing Nausicaa's Blitz Tactics, or attempting to, for the trailer. I would like to say sorry. But when you're, you know, 14, 13, you pick up on things, because puberty, and that's where young people seem to explore dangerous material. Because of puberty, their hormones and their brain changes to make them like little terrors.
Possibly. It's true that when you go through puberty, your hormones do sort of take over and start adding your brain.
But I will add a thought onto what you said about James Furman. He did try to make an attempt, and there was a case in point that they tried starting out with called Making Whoopi. I know how ridiculous it sounds, but he got into quite a bit of trouble for this with the higher-ups and through Parliament to try to see if he could pass this sort of material so it helped stop sort of illegal material being shipped and imported into the UK. It didn't work until Robin Duvall sort of came along and they changed the policies a little bit, but the thing that caused Furman's downfall was not passing Crash at 18 and they banned it at Westminster Council. It was because he tried to legalize hardcore smut.
Yeah, you wouldn't think Berman would try to do that, considering what a censorious cunt he was. I mean, I know, like, Sir Berman did do some liberal things that were considered too liberal for the conservatives, but he did some illiberal things that were too conservative for the liberals. The thing is that ever since he's gone, it's his illiberal policies that have been overturned, his liberal ones that have been maintained. So, you know, I think we know who was right on that one.
Well, depends on who you talk to, really. There's a lot of women and Christian groups out there who don't want any of this filthy stuff on our shores.
Yeah, that's what I meant. They are the ones who were wrong. I mean, you always get people like, do you get people like that in every country? I don't know. But of course, people like them don't exactly you know, help Britain's image in the rest of the world.
Well, I mean, as far as Europe is concerned, we are probably the most puritanical when it comes to that sort of thing.
The things that Americans even try to make out that we are as well, even though, you know, it's like, that's rich coming from you fuckers.
Well, I'll put it this way. American smut industry is probably more powerful. You know, we've got Playboy, we've got Chatsworth, California, where they make all these dirty movies anyways, in these sort of areas like in San Fernando Valley, amateur and the sort of professional stuff from Vivid Entertainment and stuff. I shouldn't know all this, but I do. Because there's a movie that I'm a big fan of, it's called Cuck. And some of it was set in San Fernando Valley. It's a, you know, some of the subplots was about an incel guy trying to meet up with this porn actress. And things sort of go tits up from there because he lets his politics and his racism get into his head as he tries to deal with this smut star who stars in sort of interracial, what we would call blacked type videos.
Yeah.
I feel dirty for speaking of that.
But when you think of, usually the term X or triple X to represent porn, of course, the real reason for that was because when America adopted its rating system back in 1968, Rob Valenti, sorry, Birmingham, trademarked the G through to the R. He didn't copyright or trademark or patent the X rating, so he allowed distributors to self-apply it. Which, of course, in theory, is quite good because it does seem to promote artistic freedom. But of course, yeah, the burgeoning porn industry started self-applying them, and of course, you got things like Deep Throat and Debbie Does Dallas, basically putting them on and just coming out self-applying it. And of course, they even do the putting them 2Xs and then 3Xs and shit like that. And it's just working, and that's how big. Then, as a result, the X rating just became synonymous with porn. And that's why no cinema in America would ever show anything that carried the rating. And while he changed it to NC-17 as hopes of saving grace to help save the rating, the damage was done. Now no cinema will show anything with that rating on. But as I mentioned earlier, it might help if they MPAA, like every other country in the world, created a separate rating for porn so they could differentiate between the two. But I mentioned earlier, I mean, just imagine if Valenti from the get-go had copyrighted the X rating, just how much damage could have been avoided.
A whole lot there to where, you know, we could talk 2 hours on this and to say, in an alternate reality, what would have happened had they trademarked it, but it's sad to see how it turned out ultimately, because films that have legitimate meaning and purpose are now being relegated as exploitative, smutty schlock. And I'm sure, you know, unintentionally, people were watching, let's say, films like Blue is the Warmest Color or Crash by Cronenberg with more sexual, sinister purposes involved instead of seeing it as art. Because of the supposed rating. You'll be surprised.
Because you see, like, films come out with an R-rated version, then they come out with an unrated version. It's like, yeah, but unrated version is just the version that would have been rated NC-17. There's literally no difference. You've just... different. I mean, that's what the NC-17 really should have been there for. But, I mean, it's meant to represent. Again, it's just America's equivalent of an 18 rating, so it should be treated like it, but... yes, it's all weird what goes on over there.
I'm afraid so. I mean, I wish I had the upper hand of, let's say, like a Joe Biden or Donald Trump and changed the policy or even abolished the MPA, but that's never going to happen.
Well, they can't. It's not a governmental organization, though. It's completely done by the film industry.
Exactly there. But try telling that to Joe or Jane Doe from Ohio. Some of them actually think it's legally binding.
I think it's like America's the one country where it's not. I mean, I don't see abolishing would be the right thing to do, because apart from just an age rating, is just every country's got an age rating system. We just use ours more properly and use the full spectrum of them, whereas America just seems to be a bit stringent. But anyway, that's getting a bit off topic right now.
Well, I know you said about the restricted 18 category. Is it sad to say that the first time I ever saw an R18 copy of a DVD or Blu-ray was when I was at the Harmony Sex Shop that was near the BBFC, in Soho district in London. And I must have been like 29. And it was very bizarre. I was like, how come I've never seen this before? But in all fairness, you can't sell it in regular places. It can only be sold through sex shops, and you can't even send it through mail order.
Well, we had no. Yeah, you can. We had one sent through mail. Me and my mate got one sent to us through mail order. I've had R18 films sent through mail order.
That might be actually, breaking no, the law on something actually, like that.
Actually, no, did I? Because I probably just... Actually, I might have bought... I remember one of the ones I bought are actually probably bought from Switzerland, so they probably actually weren't. But no, I mean, me and my mate actually ordered one online, so they got sent through. I mean, but it was advertised in a magazine, so, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, they're actually, by me, perfectly allowed. But at the end of the day, I mean, it, like I've said, it's completely academic now anyway. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, the R18 rating is completely redundant because, as are always pornography ratings, I don't know if any people even visit sex shops anymore, at least not to buy any dirty movies on videos. They sure as hell don't go to porno theaters anymore. Because again, as I've said, it's all available online in the privacy of your own home, completely away from prying eyes. Hell, I mean, a lot of people have complained nowadays that movies are becoming incredibly sexless. I mean, I know we've got Blows of Woman's Color and 50 Shades of Grey, but other than that, yeah, they say movies have become unbelievably sexless. And it's like, well, yeah, no shit. Because, again, porn on the internet, no one's going to be interested in seeing a movie with a simulated sex scene where you might, gosh, gasp, see an actress's boobies and everything for, like, all of 2 frames. I mean, and it's certainly not going to go pay money to watch that in a cinema, especially if it doesn't really add much to the bloody story. So, yeah, why bother with it?
Well, I'm a little bit different in that respect, is that I do thrive on seeing sort of dodgy, illicit material in the cinema just to see audience responses. I was in France.
It's not really illicit if it's in a cinema.
Well, I'm talking from the perspective of the pearl clutchers and the moral guardians who freak out if they see a boob. But when I was in France, I actually was probably feeling like this was the only country where I felt like I could express my sexuality, or at least see something that was a bit lewd than UK, US, where we still got that Puritan streak. And there was a film that I saw that was completely about prostitution. It was kind of more or less soft core. Although there was a horrible rape scene in it. It was called La Maison. It was restricted to persons 16 and up in France. But you get to see almost everything. You just don't see explicit shots of penetration and fellatio of cunnilingus. But everything's all simulated. But it is quite up there. It certainly would be an 18 certificate with no cuts. And then
you
I
mean
went
like
with...
9 songs?
Oh, no. We don't see actual doing it. It's all simulated, so it's like Blue is the Warmest Color, but yeah, for Middle England it would be a bit too saucy, although that could depend really, because Middle England and Middle America went to see Bridgerton on Netflix, and that shows from what I heard is quite raunchy. And I've also been to a sex shop in France as well. I'm not too proud to admit that in case some people are hearing, but yes. Just to see
no
what
one cares,
people
Mark,
actually
okay. were
I've
been
doing.
In sex shops before. Hell, I remember when I went to when I was at college back in 03. I mean, there was a just after I knew there was a sex shop within walking distance from a college, and basically I think it was like a day or two, like the Monday after the weekend when I turned 18, I went there on my lunch break, just have a look around. Because I knew I could now.
Oh, no. I mean, when I was 18, I was seeking out forbidden fruit, alcohol, and 18 certificate films. I was never that adventurous. I have never been to a sex shop until I was 29. If that tells you anything, 29 or 28 years old. It took a long time, but the first porno I actually saw fully is 9 songs, which is sort of a reference point for anyone who I meet and talk to, saying, this is a very dirty movie. I don't know if you want to see this, But then I talk to someone else and they say, oh, I saw Nine Songs because of this music. And I was, you know, trying to bait him and say, no, you saw it because you wanted to see the people doing it, didn't you? But he was insistent that he saw it for the songs.
Maybe he did it again, as I've said, though, but like, with all the porn on the internet, who's going to sit down and watch a movie just because there's some sex in it?
Well, I can't think of the movie, but let's just say from the milder end, some people saw Space Jam because they wanted to see Lola Bunny, all the way to movies like 9.5 Weeks, or even Matrix Reloaded, who some people just wanted to see because they wanted to see Keanu Reeves and Carrie-Anne Moss getting a bit intimate.
And I really don't think vanilla. Anyone see Matrix Reloaded for that.
Well, you'll be surprised at what teenagers are a bit curious about. You know, I'm sure people want to see that Shane movie with Michael Fassbender because they want to giggle at, you know, seeing Michael Fassbender's willy.
Well, that's a different kind of movie, though, isn't it? I think Shame is basically that sort of a... that's what I mean, like Lars von Trier's Antichrist. And stuff like that. Or, well, anything about Lars von Trier. He tends to be pushed for that kind of stuff. Or the film Baise-moi. Or any of that kind of stuff. I mean, yeah, I mean, that kind of stuff is kind of, is sort of very porny stuff. I mean, that Nine Songs, I think that kind of struggled to get past at R18 plus in Australia. And might have even been rated X18 plus or refused classification, one of the two. I mean, I don't know the exact history behind it, but
it was past X18 initially until they tried to re-rate it to the R18 on some sort of court basis or appeal. It's like what happened with Suicide Squad. R18 then goes to MA15. But, it, you know, in all fairness, that movie and the film prior before that, Hai no Corrida, In the Realm of the Senses from Japan, kind of set a precedent for movies that show people actually doing it on screen. And I actually would be more than happy to see a film like that on the big screen. You know, the most raunchiest film I saw, actually I did see, it was called Antichrist. I saw that in Dalston at the Rio Cinema. And that movie is far removed from smut. It's so disturbing and just grim. I don't know anyone who would find that movie kind of sexy.
Which film did you say again?
Antichrist.
Oh, yeah, that... oh, well, I mean, towards the end of it, it does get a little bit too horrible to, like, any kind of arousal to be got out of it. I sat down and watched it on YouTube because I knew it had been subject to lots of controversy, and if it's subject to controversy, I want to watch it to see what all the fuss is about. But yeah, I mean, I'm not going to watch it for any sort of, like I say, no point when you can just look up harder stuff online. But, it is quite grim towards the end when she starts assaulting him and starts making him bleed. And I'm not going to go into it because it's pretty grim.
Exactly. Even if it was smutty, it would not even pass R18 standards because I was told from a source... you cannot have violence, you cannot have, I think, drugs, and you cannot have sort of verbal abuse at R18. But at the same time, if you want an 18, you can't have your sex be so explicit that it has to be relegated to Harmony or one of those corner shops that is all in black and you can't see, but you have to wear a coat and hide your face. So, yeah... That's also probably what happened with Alien from the Darkness, because there are certain scenes of assault that are horrible to watch. Even in the censored version, it would not have been able to pass it any category if they let it uncut, because it was too much of assault.
Exactly. That's the kind of that was the reason. That's exactly what I explained earlier. I mean, I always found a bit of a bummer that we were like one of the last countries to legalize hardcore porn. There might be some countries after us that did, but I've always wanted to sort of blame it on the Church of England because the fact we don't have a separation of church and state in the UK. But of course, the first country to actually legalize pornography or hardcore pornography, which I just think of as proper pornography, is of course Denmark. which doesn't have a separation of church and state either. So that is weird as fuck. I wouldn't have thought that, you know, it'd be place, you'd think it'd be some place that has officially got a separation of church and state so the Christians can't force their views on other people. But no, I mean, yeah. It was Denmark and later Sweden were the first places to legalize that kind of stuff. So I mean, yeah, that's kind of a tone for the tone for books, a bit of a left field turn and all that.
I would say so too, but I think probably because of the high standard of living and high taxes and high levels of education, they kind of grew accustomed to just embracing the sort of material as art. Had it been sort of based on sort of the exploitative, nasty stuff that you see nowadays, they probably would have a change in tune. I mean, if the first sort of smutty material was stuff involving father and daughter, or a husband sleeping with his dog, I think people would say, we got to ban it entirely. And to some people, that's what they assume all smut is watching people doing it with dogs or their cousins, which even me, that puts me off, or watching people being lit fire on their nipples and putting a cattle prod up their ass and some sort of weird S&M fetish. Ugh.
Well, I must admit, that cuff is kind of grim. I mean, if it's done by consenting adults, you know, you do what you do. The government's got no business telling you that you can't. You know, keep children out of it, obviously. Keep keep animals out of it, obviously. That, but between consenting adults, yeah. I mean, you can't just turn around and tell them that they can't do that. I mean, I'm also, you're familiar with the comedian Bill Hicks, if I'm not mistaken.
He told me about him before, where he said, you know, I've done some drugs.
I admit it. Yeah, it is him. I guess you're not too familiar with his stuff, because in other ones, he's defended drugs, he's defended music, but he's also defended pornography. And of course, his joke was always, like, pornography is, we don't know what it is. Other than that, we've got a really under clock and key. But it's like, but it's basically, he says that the Supreme Court or whoever it was like defined pornography as arouses sexual thought or causes sexual thoughts that has no artistic merit. It's like, that ain't vague as absolute fuck. And it's like, too, it's like, well, that sounds like every commercial on TV. And I hear that Double Mint advert. I see those two twins go, double your pleasure, double your fun. I hate to admit it, but I am thinking about gum. Although I am thinking about chewing something, so maybe that's the connection. I got a little sidelined there, but but he's right. He then says, of course, anything what causes sexual thoughts is basically, you know, having genitalia. You know, you can't just ban something because of that. I mean, he's got a lot to talk about pornography, and a lot of his views are very similar to mine. He's like, as I grow up, I do love pornography, and I do indulge in it quite a lot, as I'm certain most people do. And of course, you know, no one's got any business telling you that you can't.
For me, it's a little bit different. I've consumed such indecent material, and I still have that Catholic guilt in me to where...
Yeah, well, that's something you need to really crush.
You know, I'm afraid to even talk about Sanex or anime to certain people because I know, probably deep down, this guy's a pervert. Oh no, don't show him Pulp Fiction, he's going to get excited. Or don't let that brunette woman walk around with her arms out, with her shiny glowing skin or her feet out, no pedicure. He might get excited. I guess it's sort of compensation for the fact that I don't. Yes, I'm going to be quite frank here. Still a virgin. I've kissed a girl. But that was a long time ago. And I've dated, but that's it. So more or less, people who watch smut are more or less lonely. People who can't compensate for their wife. So they have to watch these dirty things to compensate for the lack of them having like a girlfriend or a boyfriend or anything like that. I've even been gotten in trouble for even seeing something innocuous. It was D'Angelo's Untitled, which is a music video where it shows the R&B singer just singing, but he has no clothes on. But it does appear that he might tilt the camera down and show his... And someone thought I was gay for watching that. Smut more or less appeals to people's repressed ideas and imaginations. And if you use that as a vehicle, instead of trying to harm women in real life and rape or assault them, no, don't do that. That's why I tell, if I ever had the courage to tell someone who works in the corrections offices or in the prisons, just give these guys Playboy so they stop harming and trying to bugger one another.
I can't help thinking of probably some things we can talk about, seeing as we're going to talk about porn, both hardcore and softcore, would be that slew of erotic thrillers that came out in the 90s or early to mid 90s, most of which were just god fucking awful. But I mean, I think it started with basically Basic Instinct.
Well, we all know about the crotch shot, which is to this day the most paused bit on VHS rentals. Aside from that Roger Rabbit scene where one would assume you see Jessica Rabbit's underwear. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Well, allegedly. I mean, like I say, it's not like something I'm going out of my way to really look into or anything. Because Basic Instinct. There's also, I mean, films like Disclosure or
Jade is another one in The Last Seduction.
Secret of the Enemy. It's considered single white female. Out of Sight is another one, yeah. Although to be fair, I wouldn't say it's particularly erotic. One of the worst ones, of course, was the Stallone film The Specialist.
Well, I know Stallone was in a dirty movie when he first started. They call him like the Italian Stallion.
I'm not talking about that one. I mean, talking about the film The Specialist, which starred in with Sharon Stone in 1994. And it is a pretty piss poor film. But basically, it's meant to be sort of a typical action film. But of course, it's got the whole erotic thriller element in. And of course, it has a very long protracted sex scene with Stallone and Stone, which. Oh man! So Stallone has no business being in a freaking sex scene or in erotic film. And as films go, it's really bad. There's not enough action for the action junkies. There's not enough sex and nudity for anyone who's in it for that stuff. So yeah. But of course, such a fit. And again, they are a product of a bygone era because I know we've got like 50 Shades of Grey and everything, but seriously, that stuff is just so redundant nowadays. Again, as I say, we say how much the internet has just changed everything, but the most thing that's changed is just anything that outside of the internet is just almost pointless. Having sex scenes almost become pointless because no one's watching it. Even though, there's probably a lot of stuff I've seen on HBO which could just be classed as soft porn. I mean, I think everyone could say about Game of Thrones, but of course there was also True Blood, and there was also Rome that was on in the mid to late 2000s as well. I mean, which have you seen any of it? Have you seen Rome?
I've never seen Rome or True Blood, the vampires, but I am familiar with Californication, which aired on Five back in the day. I was not allowed to watch that show, obviously, the same way I couldn't watch South Park, but I always had this suspicion, and this was confirmed through E! News, that David Duchovny is a sex addict. So we all know what he was doing outside of the framework after X-Files, where he had to go to rehabilitation for that sort of thing, and it kind of explains it, because that show is more or less watching him get his bone wet. And then Red Shoe Diaries, I think he was also on as well. And that was a show that he deemed a bit naughty. Like people say the L word is naughty. There was a lot of lads who used to watch that back in the day. For me, if it's 18, especially like if this was 05 or something, I couldn't be watching it, but I did see Ghost Whisperer and Mistresses. Mistresses is kind of like Desperate Housewives, but British. But those aren't smutty. Those are just kind of, because it got beautiful women in the lead roles. And the DVD covers are like, So that's kind of how I got through the cracks. It was more or less sanctioned. No, they were 15s. But go on.
Well, no, I mean, I was just talking about other sort of... of course, I can't believe we've come this far without mentioning Showgirl.
The elephant in the room, the most successful NC-17 film ever made, but also a box office failure at the same time. It's hated by a lot of people, but it's also loved by quite a few.
Let's of course you count films that had the X rating, because back when the X was still viable, like Last Tango in Paris and Clockwork Orange, and of course Fritz the Cat. But yeah, I mean...
Well, you're right, but that was probably in the earlier days of the rating where it still wasn't stigmatized. I mean, my favorite X film is Midnight Cowboy. I know, but it's been re-rated R, so it's lost its impact. But yes, Showgirls. I actually remember getting it at my library. They had it.
It's
weirdly enough, and the library that I lived when I was in the US, I was like, I didn't even know you could carry NC-17 films, but it made me so happy. I had to see it for myself. It's not sexy. I find it kind of gross at places.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I would say it's gross. It's not sexy. I mean, what can be said? I mean, I remember one of my friends recommended it to me, I think after I'd recommended them the first Emmanuel film, which I saw actually on the Nice for Millennium, actually. And of course, no surprise, it was on Channel 5. And it's like, I was actually surprised at how much they were, much they're actually showing. Because it's like, oh, okay, you're showing tits. Wait, oh, you're actually showing the muff as well. Oh, fucking hell. Of course, you know, this is before I've been deluged with internet porn all the time. And, and of course, you had, actually women being lezzing it up of each other. So I was like, oh, fucking hell. Of course, I was 14, nearly 15. So you can imagine what my brain was. I was thinking that. Recommended it to my friend. He said, recommend me Showgirls, which I then saw was on TV at one time. And, could not believe how shit that film was. I watched it again recently, and this time I got to see it uncut. And it's like, because I had to have a rape scene cut for its release over here. It was like, because now it's completely uncut. So I'm just watching it thinking, yeah, it's really, really shit. There's really not enough nudity or sex or erotic stuff to even interest you in that. But again, internet porn, so it wouldn't. It's no wonder it won like the Razzie for worst picture of that year.
Well, I mean, part of it was also there was so much hype about it, and some of the dialogue was very cheesy and just absolutely ridiculous. But over the years, the film has found a bit of a following as some sort of post-feminist masterpiece or cult film. In the same way that people talk about that Room movie with that long-haired guy who's all weird. People hated it, but now they love it. And as far as watching it with Kleenex and Vaseline, it doesn't work. But for me, I don't like blondes, so that's a different story. But I think if you wanted to make a more convincing film that was based on that sort of lewd nature, I think Striptease, which had Demi Moore in it, was probably more effective. Now, let me tell you something about Striptease. I saw the DVD cover, VHS cover for that, and I was like, I was very shocked it was 15, so I thought because it looked a bit lewd, I thought, okay, it's going to be 18, really, but it wasn't. And even during the Furman era, it actually got away with quite a bit of skin. Caught me by surprise.
Yeah, I mean, lesbians got away with that much nudity and everything, but I mean, I suppose it got away with a fair amount and everything. But I mean,
so I'm sure
it's only ever been. I've seen it once or twice. It's not a very good film. I mean, again, that one worst picture the following year. So, yeah. I don't have much to say about that. I watched it again recently released. Oh, this is a fucking goofy film. There's not that much nudity in it. But then again, this is just my 38-year-old, jaded from internet porn, bloody mind speaking.
Well, I mean, the problem with internet smut is everything's all at your disposal. You can watch cowgirl, interracial, bukkake. I think it kind of removes a little bit of the forbidden nature about it, or where you had to go through various channels just to find, certain material in the works. I know I go on a lot about certain titles, but in all fairness, I'm actually one of the few people who kind of finds pornography a little bit dull and quite gross. A large majority of it is not that interesting to me.
And of course, another film, Barbed Wire, that Pamela Anderson film.
I have never heard about that. I've heard about the sex tape, but not Barbed Wire.
Well, it was just a it was a superhero movie she made circa 1996, and it's basically about a ticket to stardom. But of course, because she just basically starred in softcore Cinemax stuff leading up to that, she was they basically just lent into that and trying to include as much nudity in it as possible. And of course, on both sides of the Atlantic, it basically came into different, ratings issues. Well, I say ratings issues. When it put all its nudity, we have to cut a shit ton of it out for the theatrical release to get an R rating, and they released a fully uncut version on video. Of course, over here, the R-rated version was passed uncut for 15 of a cinema, but when it came out VHS, it gives the NC-17 rated version, which was rated 18. To be fair, though, I say there's a lot of nudity, but the only real amount of nudity in it is just the bit where she's in the opening scene where she's dancing with her tits out, being sprayed with champagne while Word Up by Gunn is playing. And so much more to really add to it. It's a really crap film, and I'm surprised that it's based on a comic book, which I can't believe got adapted 2 decades before Wonder Woman did. And while we're on ratings issues, that specialist I mentioned earlier was a 15 out of cinema, but we're bumped up to an 18 in video with no changes made whatsoever. So that's weird.
No, but that happened quite a lot back in the day. Sometimes even inverted, like Rush Hour, 15 to 12. And then Starship Troopers was 15, but then bumped to 18. But
yeah,
it made it more weird because it was Furman era, and he was quite a bone to pick when it came to graphic violence, and I'm sure with sex. But
yeah, he was he's the one who's very much harder on video. That's why he'd bump him up sometimes. It's weird when he bumped it down on video.
Exactly, there trying to sell it to more people, but. In all fairness, I would go as far as to say Furman wasn't as strict on sexual material as some people might make it out to be. I mean, I could talk about Crash for hours. And that movie got on a bit of shit. I mean, it got NC-17 in the US, but they passed it uncut at 18, and many people complained about saying you got to ban this Crash sex film. According to the Daily Mail, Westminster Council in London said, nope, we're not showing this one. And I've seen the film. It's not sexy, but it is a bit bizarre. Like, what kind of
transgress
would get off on watching people die in car crashes?
It's very transgressive in typical Cronenberg style. So that's all I can be said about that and everything.
He did Videodrome, and that movie deals with the more extreme ends of smut. The kind of stuff that would be illegal to import. So, kids, don't do it. Don't import pornography overseas. It could be illegal.
But they're not going to, are they? Because, again, it's all on the internet.
Well, still, there's people who will find out eventually. Customs officers will sometimes open packages and will observe materials to see what they may have. And it's not even necessarily drugs that may be inside it. So go figure. But that's just me ranting on, really.
Well, yeah. Just trying to think what other topics, what other elements of this we can cover and everything.
Well, I know the modern-day culture when it comes to smut is now not so much, you know, your P-Harbs and your X videos, but also OnlyFans, which I think is the saddest thing on planet Earth nowadays. I mean, I was shocked to see, you know, the app X, which sounds dirty in of itself to have smut, even though he's censoring left-wing voices, so that's a bit contradictory. And then OnlyFans is this big thing that people are using, and I'm just like, what?
Well, it's I think it's more women who are involved in the sex work industry trying to go el solo to have more sort of agency and control over it. So I say power to them. I say go for it and everything, rather than getting locked in some lengthy contract control for some porn industry. I mean, a porn company. Just my feeling about it.
You're right.
I mean, there have been like, I remember one time during the, I say remember one time as if I was there or anything, but one thing we talked about is, of course, during the 70s, I mean, Britain, we did this slew of sex comedies, like the Confessions series.
Oh, yes, The Adventures of a Taxi Driver. It's like more X-rated Carry On.
Oh, yeah, totally. I mean, even by standards of general sex comedies, they had a lot more nudity and a lot more sexual content. I think that was probably get around the fact that we couldn't have access to the stuff that most continental Europeans had access to. I mean, and yeah, and most of the time we didn't. So, I mean, I haven't watched any of these films, and so I can't really comment on them or anything, but. But I've heard they're all absolutely god awful, or at least so bad they're good and everything.
Well, the one I'm familiar with is it's an A-rated film, or now PG, called No Sex Please with British. Essentially, the plot of it, I've shown you the DVD copy of this when I saw you. It's 70s era where this banker actually has some material else from Switzerland that was a bit dodgy. He's trying to hide it from so many people, and it makes him more panic. And then his boss sort of gets word of it, and he has like this sort of power session where he's going to be showing some sort of something to the crowd. And then he accidentally puts it on something that looks a bit dodgy, and he's like, oh no, oh God, cover the screen, please. And in all fairness, you know, for an A or PG film, that's quite lewd. I mean, I don't know any PG films that deal overtly with smut, but this one does, and it's not explicit, but it is quite very suggestive to where it's probably more back, 15.
Probably back then, really. I mean, back then, the stands were different. There's the BBFC says no sex, contains mild sex references and nudity, so, I mean, who knows?
Well, it felt a bit on the sort of moderate, strong end of things, because usually nowadays they would bump films like that to, at the very least, like a mild 15, like Scary Movie 3 and 4, where they got it mainly because there's a bit too much sex talk. It was a little too crude, but maybe that's just me digressing there. But I think one could argue, when you're a teenager, the sort of sanctioned smut you tend to get is Lynx ads. Which, you know, don't show anything, but it's obvious they're trying to appeal to people's hormones by showing, you know, some guy trying to get the girl, and he sprays all the links, and he's, like, dancing around. You might even see his bum a little bit, like I saw on one or two of the links ads. But that was kind of hilarious for me. I don't know, was it the same for you when you saw that ads for link spray or shower?
No, I can't honestly say I really got much out of them. I remember there was this some late night advertisements. I was when I was a kid, and I bought things like Durex and everything, which had some slightly racier material, for lack of a term, material. But to be honest, and of course that just but left a lot to the imagination. Of course, my imagination being all kinds of wild back then, made me think of things. But I mean, yeah, I mean, it doesn't really make a too much. I mean, a lot of times I used to just try and. My brothers used to have like FHM mag or a loaded magazine, so I used to try and watch a lot of them, read a lot of them and everything.
I mean, I will say this, before Nagica, before anime, before Sanix, there was actually a channel I used to watch that aired on Q on Sky late at night called FHM, and it aired on after like 6:30 or 7. And it was overtly referencing that magazine. And they showed scantily clad lasses, you know, dancing around. You could see their bras. But there was an ad particularly that was so suggestive and implied nudity. You probably could even see the guy's pubic hair a little bit. I thought, I'm going to get in trouble. I'm going to get in trouble. I didn't know what to make of it, but they aired two versions of it. I've seen both versions. I must have been 13 when this happened. My mind was really going too many places when I saw that. It did make me laugh, but it was also probably one of the most sexiest experiences of my life seeing that ad. And it's not even considered smut because you don't actually see people doing this. So for me, if you want to get into my brain, not necessarily arousal, you have to try a lot better than showing Scarlett Johansson. That doesn't do it. Sorry.
Oh, again, mostly things don't really do much for me anyway. Again, as I've said, my time's over. I've got all the porn. Anytime I want any of that stuff, I've got my phone, got my porn. So it's, and I think I speak, and most of people, and I think that's the case with most people, to be honest. So, I mean, don't think we really have, yeah, not much more to really add in that sort of area.
The ad is called Aquashave by Shanna. I don't know where the ad is. It's very difficult to find on YouTube or certain sites. But if someone does have any sort of link to it or record it on their TV, please do send us a link just for my curiosity. And that's all I'll ever say. But you can change the subject. I might have got a little bit too aroused just talking about it. But go on.
I suppose if we talk about censorship, I suppose pornography is the biggest issue when it comes to free speech, because that's the kind of stuff that the censors are always trying to get rid of. And the BBFC even say today that like it is most of their cuts happen at the R18 level, even though like really, I mean, the Office of Obscene Publications say that, or that they won't prosecute or anything that's made by consenting adults anymore. Although, to be honest, it took them quite a while to come to that decision. So, I mean, I know the Tories, when they're in power, try to put some laws and restrictions on porn when they were in. Unfortunately, those fell through, thank God, because they knew as soon as they were in power they were going to try something like that.
I like when they try to have age verification on the sites, so where you have to put in your credit card details or your proof of identification just before you access it. That's been done in France. I don't know if it's still in legal limbo in UK, but I actually would be supportive of that. Yes, it's a privacy issue, but I'm a bit of a right-wing prude on this, but I don't want 10-11-year-olds watching this stuff. It scares me. You know, when I first saw accidentally at an Apple store what it appeared to be a couple with a penis coming from his vagina and vice versa, it scared the shit out of me. And I must have been like 16 or 17 when this happened, to where I had to tell the Apple staff, someone accidentally pulled this smut on their phone. Please, can you erase it? Please. So, yeah, maybe I've come from a bit more of a fearful background, to where that freaked me out. But then FHM Music TV and some anime didn't freak me out. And then I didn't even get, I must be confused.
I can't really speak for your thought pattern, Mark. To be honest, I don't think that's really something I don't think I'd ever want to tackle.
No, don't.
I do remember I was watching something on a TED talk. I can't remember the name of the name of the woman or everything. And she was an older woman in her 40s, maybe pushing 50. I don't know. Said she's had a few sexual experiences with younger guys and everything. And she's had to tell people, and basically I'm going to have to get quite graphic with something here. So I'd say skip to the next bit, but then I don't know when that's going to be. So you've been warned. She has to tell them that she'd rather not have them come on her face and everything because she doesn't like it when men come on her face. And she says they get that impression because they've been watching a lot of internet porn. But rather than trying to stop them from actually watching the porn, which is probably a fool's errand because they'll find ways of getting it anyway. I mean, it's like trying to hold back the tide. It's just not going to happen. They need to rework the education system, the sex education system, probably to actually tell young people, especially young boys who are grown up and coming of age and starting to, start becoming hormonal, that what you see in porn is not how sex is in real life. That they need to tell them the difference between pornography and real life sex.
I think she's absolutely right in that respect. The fact that, depending on which part of the world you're in, let's say US, where a lot of schools will require abstinence education, which says no sex whatsoever. Yet these same kids, they'll find ways to see how people do the dirty on the internet with all those illegal material and the viruses, and it creates a bit of a conundrum, really, because now all you know through those dodgy channels is what they tell you from Playboy or Vivid, which does concern me, because as was proven over the years, the smut industry is one of exploitation, where women are being exploited, and sometimes children and animals, for profit, with no regards to safety. And even people say pornography is racist, where it just makes the black man look like an object for the white woman's desire.
Can rely a bit into racial stereotypes, I'm not going to lie. I mean, even though it can, on the surface, seem empowering for people of colour by saying, you know what, people of colour aren't unattractive, they actually are sexually appealing, and not just by having, white women getting fucking black men and everything, but also they also have women of colour coming in, and usually fucking white guys. Like, you've heard of Mia Khalifa and Nadia Ali, I take it you've heard of them, who are, Lebanese and Pakistani porn stars, respectively, the latter of whom is actually a Muslim.
She got death threats because of that.
Yes. Yeah, anywho. And, of course, I mean, that does make, one could say that, we make all these racial differences, but when it comes to the act of fucking, hey man, we don't recognise any of that shit. And yeah, I agree. I mean, I've always said to myself, well, at least porn is like encouraging more representation, which can be more said for other forms of media. So make that what you will. Ooh, by the way, that woman I was referring to on TED Talk, Cindy Gallup. Just found via TED Talk. It's 13 years old. But she was the one basically saying that young men probably do need better sex education to tell them that porn is not real. Obviously they actually are fucking on screen, but it's more for performance purposes, not how it happens in real life. I mean, I'll link when this is on YouTube. I'll link put the link to the video in the comments section, just so anyone who's watching this can see it for themselves. All three of you.
Well, what we try to do on my end is to provide some sort of context for what we're saying, because the reason why it took so long to do this podcast was because we were worried about what the backlash would be. maybe I'm a bit right-wing or sexist in this respect, is that I assume a lot of women will not like this podcast. They will not like what we're thinking or talking about, because women are usually the victims of this sort of stuff. And when it comes to dating, I don't know, it's maybe a little bit weird. I tried to use that sort of thing, because I am of mixed parentage, to use that to my advantage. Yeah, portray myself as some sort of Latin lover. You know you want it? It feels like a good. Mess with your skin will pleasure you. So I don't we'll do the weird French accent to try to woo them in. As far as I'm concerned, when it comes to dating or smut, really, I'm more of a sensual person. If it's too gross and, you know, just crass, and the, you know, playing around and there's all tattoos and excessive makeup and manicures, pedicures, it doesn't appeal to me. It's just, that's kind of disgusting, really. I know some people get off on that, but no, that's not for me.
Excessive, well, in a lot of porn, actually, there isn't a lot of excessive makeup and manicure. Some women do get quite dolled up, but other women, at least almost on the face, at least on the face of it, it seems, actually just come or not travel, or quite a deglander. If you get a lot of MILF porn, where they specifically, the woman specifically looks like a typical middle-aged housewife or anything, or woman next door. I mean, I think that's like the whole point of it. But, you know, I mean, yeah, every sexual fetish has just now become straight up available on the internet. I mean, you know, again, that's why. This whole concept now that they say that sex sells fucking doesn't anymore, because again, we become immunized against it. No one's gonna, it's a bit pointless trying to use half naked women to try and sell your product now. It's like, why on earth would I want to look at that? It's like, I can same with lads mags, they become redundant because who gives a fuck?
Well, part of it is also feminist backlash. You know, a lot of women don't want to see that because it commodifies them. And with the Me Too movement, there's going to be a future, any given minute now, where you'll never see any sort of sex or nudity on the screen. And if it is, if they're going to try to make it ethical or sort of gender neutral. There's been some works that try to sort of counter this balance, like Euphoria, which shows a lot of shots of cock-a-doodle-doos.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, a lot of feminists do use the fact that porn is available on the internet. It's like, you don't need, if you want to get your rocks off, you don't need to look at, like, if ogle half-naked pictures paid free girls and everything. I mean, it's all on the internet by people who are fully consenting to it. The same with, like, if you want to get laid, you can probably go out and find women who are willing to do it exchange for money. Make sure you treat them well. Don't try to get violent with them or anything. And make sure they're not being exploited. Make sure they are doing it their own free volition. And you know, they are absolutely fucking right. I mean, it's just this whole, like, you know, again, I mean, a lot of old school, a lot of, well, I mean, but one thing Mary White, tried to say was, like, oh, pornography creates exploitation. And there are a lot of old school feminists who actually tried agreeing with her, but then on the second wave, but then a lot of other second wave feminists were more sex positive, and the following third and fourth wave more were. And he said, no, actually, we don't see it way, as long as the woman is consenting, and it can be empowering. And of course, it kind of is. It low key kind of has, because it has encouraged people to think, well, we got all the sex and sexual all the titillation we want or could need. You don't need to drape women half naked over billboards to sell a freaking McDonald's burger or something like that. So, I mean,
Carl's Jr. used to sell a car.
Exactly, but it's all completely redundant now because, again, sex isn't recorded. I mean, you know, right-wing chuds can bitch about how it's just like overly PC feminism and everything, and cancel culture. But it's like, dude, it isn't. Again, we've just got all the porn we need. We don't need to skulk around. If we want to see stuff that's more stronger than that, rather than having to skulk around until we can find a windowless shop or a freaking, or go into a red light district and to see a live sex show, we can just watch it on our freaking phones in bed before we even get out of, get up in the morning to have our bowl of cornflakes. I mean, I don't eat cornflakes, but you know what I mean.
Smut is one of those things that is so scorned and condemned and feared by many people, even on the left. You kind of have to wonder, oh, you better not touch up on this topic. And I know this may be a bit offensive to ask you, but are women that fearful of smut? Because I've heard some stories about women actually watching smut, but I never knew anyone who did.
Yes.
It's always guys.
Of course they do. They even admit it themselves. They probably just don't aggressively talk about it, but they're not conditioned to aggressively talk about it. But yeah, freaking women watch porn. That's literally the point. I mean, women don't hate porn. And most feminists don't actually hate porn. They might hate some exploitative practices that some pornographers may engage in, but as long as everything's above board, they're cool with it. That's why OnlyFans is being so well promoted, because the actual porn stars themselves are actually the ones like taking control and taking charge of the whole thing.
Well, no, I kind of get you there. I'm guessing their agency, and they have to be, you know, beholden to some sort of pimp. You know, Hugh Hefner, for all intents and purposes, is a pimp. Actually, let me tell you about Hugh Hefner, weirdly enough. When I was 13, I was actually allowed to watch Girls at the Playboy Mansion on E! Channel on Sky, which I was, you know, talking to my family on the side saying, should I be allowed to watch this? Because they edit like at 2 or 3 in the afternoon, but they said, you can watch it as long as, you know, you're watching it with me. Which, if you talk to any other parents, they probably would go to prison or be looked at with derision. But I guess they were trying to set me up as some sort of regular guy, not some sort of sex fiend that I like to assume myself as. But I don't know. Would your parents sit next to you watching that show?
Well, I don't. What show was it again?
Girls at the Playboy Mansion. It's not dirt. It's not a smutty movie. It's a reality show.
It's not the kind of thing I'd probably watch with my parents, to be honest. And yeah, and also I found that an older College Humor video. Are you familiar with College Humor?
I've seen quite a few of their videos, including the ones where it's like the roasting of drugs.
Right. Yeah, they even had a video which now 12 years old, as a matter of fact, called Girls Watch Porn 2. I mean, to be honest, asking if whether or not girls watch porn is quite an outdated, outdated presumption, because yeah, they do. I mean, we know they do. We're much more open about this day and age. Hell, I mean. You know, women have sex drives too. They may express it more of stuff like 50 Shades of Grey rather than, you know, who's nailing Palin, but you know, they can hell, some women have even directed porn.
That is true. So, I mean, you know, Catherine Breillat, who's a well-known French filmmaker, she'd done a movie called The Anatomy of Hell, which if you've seen it, you'll be thinking to yourself, is this movie be banned? Because there's some stuff in it that's really nasty, including a scene where they do it and she's on her period and there's blood coming out of her. I'm like,
I did not need to know that, mate. What was her name again?
Catherine Breillat.
Catherine Breillat.
Like Catherine. And the surname is Breillat. It's just because of the way I pronounce it. It sounds a little bit weird. But,
I know what you mean.
I remember seeing the DVD for that at HMV, and I saw it just earlier this year. And my goodness, I thought, oh shit, you're gonna go to prison for watching this. But you know, another show I felt that.
If you could buy the DVD, I don't think you would, to be honest. Well, hell, even if it wasn't rated, you wouldn't actually get in prison for having it. It would just be illegal to sell it to you. That's kind of how those rules work.
Well, it's just me talking in a little bit of a tangent and also, you know, trying to play on people's thinking that I'm some sort of prude, which I'm sure to some people I probably am a prude. But what about that show Naked Attraction on Channel 4? I mean, I've seen several episodes of that, and maybe I'm probably the only one who thinks that show is smut.
I don't think anyone. You probably are the only person who thinks that, yeah.
I mean, the fact that you have all these close-up shots of people's bits and bobs, I'm like, ooh, oh dear. I mean, no, not, most of it's kind of hideous, because there's so much tattoos and flam. I'm just like, I wanted to see it, see how shocking people find it. They find it revolting and want to ban it. It's like that show, Embarrassing Bodies. It's a reality show, but there are a lot of shots of people flashing their own hoo-ha and their own sausage on screen. It's like, what kind of dirty show is this? But it's medical, so it's a little bit different.
Right, it's not done in a sexual context, so it's probably perfectly fine.
There's probably people who, you know, have Kleenex and Vaseline and watch it when their wife's not around. Hey, people do that with Space Jam, and that's a U certificate. Ew.
You know, it's obviously going to be an interest of porn as long as human beings have a sex drive. And it's always been a trope that porn has been a driving factor of technological innovation, such as, like when video technology first came out, because it made it easier to get your hands on porn rather than having to go to a porno theater. And then when the internet came out, we could watch porn through there. And when we started having mobile phones that could play videos on, we could keep our porn on that. So I suppose one thing can be said for, as long as pornography exists, it will continue to frigging take advantage and help promote more advancements in technology. And it's going to stay, it's not going to go anywhere. So people may as well learn to embrace it and everything. Most of the problems people always had with it was probably just due to some religious hang-up, which, of course, being an atheist, I don't have. I mean,
well, that'll take a bit of you have to kill two birds with one stone. I don't know if that's the right phrase for it, but we still have a bit of a way to go to where, you know, with all these bans and restrictions on LGBT and stuff, any minute now, fairness, there's going to come a point where, looking at Bill Cowlitz from Tokyo Hotel, who, I'm going to say this on the record, he looks gorgeous as a woman. And I'm not gay, but there you go. That's going to be not taboo in 40 years. In the UK, it probably won't even be taboo by another 15 years. You know, and most people nowadays are probably more shocked at smart ones, not shot by anything anymore, but there's going to come a point where people are not going to be shot. You may not be able to see, let's say, Deep Throat or Devil in the Blue just in the cinema anymore, but I hope they do sometime in the future. That would be one of my greatest achievements in my life, is to see a smutty movie like that on the big screen with the R18 certificate, or I'll take an 18, because the only one I saw was like Antichrist and the movie Variety at the BFI South Bank.
I mean, if you that's what you like, I mean, I always think that kind of mentality is outdated, but I don't think there's much more you can really conclude of this, so shall we call it a day there?
Yep, we will. I will say this one thing about Variety and Antichrist. Variety, it was all mixed audience, young and old. So that very much caught me by surprise. I thought it was just mostly going to be perverts. And then Antichrist, who was mostly like a bunch of 20 and 30 year olds who looked like they were hipsters. So I thought, that contradicts everything I believed. Everything. And I even applied when I saw the movie X by Ty West. Same sort of audience as Antichrist. I thought it was mostly going to be perverts. But nope.
I think people went there to go see that for that reason, to be honest, Mark. But I guess I think we can leave it. I think we can leave it there for the time being. So yeah, thanks for all for tuning in. Have a good day, and we will leave you to the porn that's available on your phones.
As long as it doesn't involve children or animals or rape.
Okay, then we are judging. Yeah, fuck you guys if you're doing that.
or incest. Hey, well, call it until that. Then, Tara,